Father, we thank you this morning that you are sovereign, you are Lord. We thank you, O God, that your word comes to us fresh every day, because there is a fresh word that proceeds from your mouth day after day. So today we ask for our portion. We ask for your Rhema word, O God. We ask that your word will come, O God, and change us. Your word will shift us. Your word, O God, will bring us into alignment with your purposes. And that's what we ask this morning, O God. Let your word come, Father, with power, with anointing, with comfort, and with conviction. Lord, Holy Spirit, I welcome you to fill me afresh, to anoint me afresh, and to pour out of me. I give myself to you. And Lord, let us hear your word and your voice this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to speak today about the topic from disappointment to divine appointment. From disappointment to divine appointment. And that being the title of the message, I want to make a prophetic declaration right at the beginning, right? I want to declare over everyone who's listening today, you know, whether you're listening at home, whether you're, listening to replay, you know, or whether you're watching it later on YouTube or however, but I want to make a declaration. If you're hearing this message, I want to declare over you that this is a season when God is shifting you from your disappointment to a divine appointment. Your season of disappointment is going to come to an end, and you're going to move into divine appointment. Hallelujah. Let everyone who has ears hear the word of the Lord. Amen. And so here's the thing. A couple of days ago, or maybe it was yesterday, Pastor Peter had a prophetic word at a conference, and it came with the power of the Spirit declaring that the season has shifted. Something stirred within me because, you know, I was in the frequency of the Spirit of the prophetic word that came, and immediately I was already meditating on this, but this came into my heart. And so I know with confidence I can say that if you have been in a season of disappointment or discouragement, if you have been in a season where, hopes have been dead, or you have lost that zeal, if you have been in that place between the promise of God and the fulfillment, and you feel that gap and you feel nothing is moving forward, here is good news for you today, that God has already appointed a time for you to shift out of that disappointment and to move into divine appointment. God has already ordained a divine time. It's an appointed time where you will see the fulfillment of what you have been hoping for in the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. So, I want to start off with this scripture, okay? It's from Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. This is going to be our primary scripture, and then we'll look at some other scriptures. It says, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son, and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed." Here's the thing. So this scripture says that Adam and Eve had a son, and they named him Seth. And Eve declares that God has appointed for her another seed in the place of Cain, right? In the place of Abel, whom Cain killed. Now, this wouldn't make much sense until we go to the background of this scripture, right? So if you go to Genesis chapter 3, we are familiar with the story that Adam and Eve were, in the garden, enjoying all the benefits that God had given them, and then comes the serpent, right? He comes in and Eve gets deceived. They both eat of the fruit, and then God, of course, finds out, and there is repercussions, There's a consequence for that sin of disobedience, because God had asked them not to eat of the fruit that is of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So let's fast forward the story. We know that happened. God comes into the scene and he makes a judgment. And there is a curse that lands upon all three who were involved, right? So Satan, who deceived Eve, and then Eve, who ate the fruit first. You know, she came under his spell, she believed his lies and ate the fruit. And then, of course, Adam, who God had already instructed not to do it, he also participated in it. So God pronounces a curse on all of them. We know, to Eve, he said, you will bear children with much pain, you know, and all of that. There's, you know, more to it, but that was primary. And then to Adam, he said, you know, you will, because the ground is now cursed, so you will have to work hard, and by the sweat of your brow, you will be toiling and making your bread. And then to Satan, God gave a curse. And here's the one that I want to read, and we'll pick up from there, all right? So it's in Genesis chapter 3, right? Verse 15. And it says, God is speaking to Satan, part of the curse. He says, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So you'll see that God puts this curse on Satan, saying you'll crawl, you know, by your belly all your life and all of that. But the primary thing here was, there was a ray of hope that Eve and obviously Adam too had in the midst of that curse, right? And that ray of hope was that when God pronounced the curse to Satan and said, listen, there's going to be a seed of the woman who will crush your head one day, right? And so as soon as Eve heard that, there was a ray of hope there. There was some kind of hope that built. You have to understand now, after Eve, you know, was deceived, she eats this fruit, and then she gives it to Adam, and there was this blame game, and I'm sure she not only was feeling guilty and feeling convicted about what she did wrong, you know, but the weight, and then, of course, being blamed for it too, but that whole weight of having lost such an amazing life, having lost, you know, forever something that happened because of her, and, you know, having been detoured from her destiny, you know, she must have been in disappointment. She must have been in despair. And however it was, I don't know, have you been in that place where maybe you did something and because of your mistake, you know, you're in that place of like, why did I do it? What was I thinking? Right? How could I have done that? You know, whether we did it in ignorance, or whether we did it out of rebellion, whether we did it because we didn't trust God, whatever the reason, you've probably been there, right? And just so disappointed, and then taking the weight of that whole responsibility. But in the midst of that, there was a ray of hope, a word that God had spoken to Satan, but it was a word of the Lord. He had proclaimed it that one day, the seed of the woman will crush your head. And so, in the midst of her pain and despair, she clung to that word. How do we know that? Because we know that in chapter 4, verse 1, you know, when she had Abel and Cain, you know, here's what she declares. Let me read that to you. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. It says, she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. And later she gave birth to his brother Abel. Right? Have you been in that place? See, the fact that she says, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man, shows that she still trusted the Lord after her failure. Because maybe she clung on to that word that God has not completely given up on me, because after all, it'll be my seed that'll crush that nasty devil's head who tricked me. So she must have, you know, clung on to that word. She must have believed that word. That is why she says, with the help of the Lord, I brought forth a son, right? So we know that she must have stayed in faith in spite of her you know, disappointment and discouragement. So I want to ask you, have you ever been in that place where, you know, you messed it up, you blew it, right? And you've probably been in guilt or condemnation or in, you know, in that place of thinking, I wish I could change that. And then in the midst of that, suddenly God gives a word and there is a ray of hope, because you know you can trust God's word. And then God speaks a word. God gives a promise of a future that you know that your past is not going to hold you bound to that past or to that consequence. You have a hope, and then you suddenly, you know, you look up to that hope and you trust God again. And then that's the place that Eve was. Okay? But then something disastrous happens. We know that even though she had really believed God and named her children and she had the hope and she knew that God was the one who gave her Cain and Abel. Hallelujah. But then everything went wrong. You know the story, right? Cain ends up killing Abel because of the jealousy and all of that. And then not only did Abel die, but then Cain, you know, was punished for killing Abel. And he was sent out. She was never to see him again. He becomes a wanderer. That was his punishment. He had to go away, far away. Can you imagine Adam and Eve's pain or the situation? Like, it's like she literally lost two boys at the same time. It was not just, see, one... all of the family dynamics where one brother killed the other and all of that. But still, not only did one die, but the other one was as good as dead, because now Abel was buried, but Cain was gone forever. He was as good as dead for her. So I wanted to think about that. What do you think went on in her? Because she had believed God and she had, you know, when the children were born. And now, what happened to the promise that God had said that your seed, you know, her seed, the woman's seed, will crush the head of the enemy? It appears like for a season, everything she believed, all that she had expected and hoped, she had been disappointed, and then God gave her a hope again. She had a word. She had the children. Now she was hoping. She knew that God will come through. And then any sign of her recovering from it, anything, any hope of what, how God could fulfill the promise was gone. Over, both were dead. Not only that, you know, in Genesis chapter 3 verse 20, Eve is called the mother of all the living. So that was her destiny. I want you to think about it. Having a name called Eve, which means the mother of all the living, and here she has no living children. She has no promise. Her destiny seemed like it was dead. In fact, it looks like she was the mother of all the dead. Dead boys, dead hope, dead dreams, dead promises. Everything seemed dead around her. Right? And, you know, I was thinking about her name and her destiny connected to that name, and then her practical life looking completely opposite of her destiny. I was thinking of Abraham. Remember, Abraham, his name was Abram, which means, you know, exalted father. And then God comes into the scene and changes his name and says, now you will be called Abraham, which means father of nations. What a joke it might have seemed at that time, because his name and his destiny didn't match with what the practical situation of life was, what God had promised. Because when God had changed his name to Abraham, at that time, he had no children. No children. Father of nations, that was the destiny. That was the name. But no hope, absolutely. Any hope of having children ever wasn't there, because Sarah was past childbearing age. He was way old, past, you know, reproductive years. But that was the situation, and we know his story. Here in Eve's life, mother of the living was her name. And, you know, that was her destiny. There was a great destiny that her seed would crush the head of the enemy. But here she was, after having a little hope, here she was, almost mother of everything dead, right? And I wonder, has life ever found you in that situation where you know there is a destiny? You know there is a promise of God that was sure the word of the Lord. You know it. You got it. God spoke to you. And then you find yourself The promise of God is out there beyond reach, seeming even beyond ever coming to pass. And your current situation is very different from what God had spoken to you. Contrary to the promise of God, contrary to the prophetic word, contrary to the destiny that God had for you. Do you find yourself in that situation? Well, I have good news for you. I have great news for you, in fact. All right? So this is where we go back to Genesis chapter 4, verse 25. This was the background of Genesis chapter 4, verse 25, right? All of what was the scripture? Let's read that. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. Now think about it. You know, all of a sudden, God comes into the picture. He says, God, see, Eve may not have known that or experienced that or felt that, but in the middle of that great disappointment where everything seemed dead, in the middle of that abyss of just everything seeming to have come to a standstill, going through the motion, nothing to look forward to, right? God had not forgotten Eve. Why? Because God can never forget his promise. Right? So God had not forgotten Eve. God had already appointed a seed. Now we know that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundations of the world. So we know that none of this had taken God by surprise. Let's face that. We need to remind ourselves again and again and again that God always has the answer before the problem ever came. Right? He already knew that there's going to be problems. He already knew this will happen. So God had already gone ahead of the time. God had already appointed a seed for Adam and Eve, that through Eve there would be a seed that would come and crush the head of the enemy. Hallelujah. You know, remember we were paralleling with Abraham. There's an interesting scripture here that I want to read to you from Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. After waiting all those years, you know, God promised him a seed. He waited all those years. And then finally, there came an appointed time, right, when Abraham would have a son. And so in Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, God says something. He says, you know, at the appointed time, you will say, let me read that to you. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. See, Sarah had laughed. Abraham couldn't believe, God, what is going on? And then God said, listen, watch, at the appointed time. Which means God had gone ahead of time and had appointed a time for Sarah to have a child, that Abraham would indeed become father of the nations. Everything will start, you know, moving forward. It'll be set in motion. There was an appointed time. So I declare to you that just like how there was an appointed time, because there is nothing too hard for the Lord, there was an appointed time for Abraham. There was an appointed time for Eve, right? And not just appointed time, but an appointed purpose. There was an appointed person or an appointed season. All of it comes into play that Eve, in the midst of her disappointment, would come into divine appointment to fulfill her destiny and to walk into that season when God will fulfill the destiny. Hallelujah. Now, here's the thing. Do you feel that God has forgotten you? Or maybe God has forgotten his promise? Or do you feel that you blew it so badly that God cannot and will not fulfill? I know a lot of people, when I talk, they talk about this. They say, you know, I know that God is great and he's able and he's faithful, but I don't know if I'm too bad. I don't know if I've blown it too much. I don't know if I've messed this up so badly. I don't know if now I even deserve it. So maybe God has taken away his promise. Maybe God has changed his mind. Listen, I declare to you that God does not change his mind. That if we turn to the Lord, see, that is all God looks for. If we align ourselves with him, if we repent of our sins, if we come under the covering of the Most High, God, not just is he able, but he will. He's able and he will fulfill his purpose. There is an appointed time for every promise to be fulfilled. And so here's the thing. that was not just the end. That's good enough. That story is good enough. Okay, Eve came out of disappointment. She had a seed. She thought her boys were dead and everything was dead. But God came through at the appointed time and she had a son, Seth. Hallelujah. But see, that's not just the end. There's more. The story just keeps getting better, right? A verse later, so Genesis 4:26, after Seth was born, it says, "And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord." Now listen, that tells volumes. It wasn't just enough to have a child, right? God was showing her, listen, and then Seth has another son, and God was showing her that, listen, your generation is going to continue. It's not just, you know, the promise is going to be fulfilled for you personally, and that's the end of the story, but your generation will continue because my word is over your life. I have already said that your seed will crush the head of the enemy. That is going to happen, and your generation will continue. So I think in God's greatness, as we read this, we see that God continued the promise, you know, that the promise of God overflowed the mother of the living, hallelujah, and that continues. It didn't stop with one generation, it didn't stop with her, it goes to Seth and from Seth to Enosh, and then we know that, you know, that's where Noah comes, you know, the lineage of Noah, and we know everybody else got destroyed in the flood, all the descendants of Cain, you know, that was wandering, and all of them, everybody, but the godly seed was preserved, and that's not just it, there's more. The best part is the last phrase in verse 26. It says, here it is, let's read that. It says, "Then men began to call on the name of the Lord." So it wasn't just about, you know, generations carrying on with a blessing and the future. There was something great for the moment. There was something great for that generation. Not just a personal fulfillment for Eve, you know, to see so that her eyes see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Not just that, but really, it says, "Then men began to call on the name of the Lord." Hallelujah. Now, that has a lot of weight behind it, because that word "call" not just means call on the name of the Lord. It also means proclaim. Hallelujah. So here's the thing. Seth, whose name meant appointed one, right? So at the appointed time, God had already appointed him to carry the promise and to be the fulfillment of the promise. And then at that time, when the appointed person arrived or the appointed time came, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Men began to proclaim the name of the Lord. Now you realize at that time what was happening with the rest of the world. Cain had gone and had built a city already. He had descendants, and they were all wicked. They were all not walking with the Lord. They were away from the Lord. Now we know that Eve had still stayed with the Lord because she believed. She was saying, "This is God who has appointed, you know, in Abel's place a seed for me," and all of that. So what happened? Through the coming of Seth, through the manifestation of God's promise, through that appointed seed, God brought forth a revival. When it means at that time people called on the name of the Lord, or people proclaimed the name of the Lord, it means in that wicked generation, at that time when people were away from the Lord, there was a generation, a godly seed. The promise of the Lord came through, and what happened? The result of that, the result of the appointed seed, the result of the appointed time was that there was revival in the land. Men began to call on the name of the Lord. Friends, this is under the fall, during the time of the fall, during the time when Cain became a wanderer and then his descendants became murderers. And you can read all of that in chapter 3 and 4. But here's the thing. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. What a glorious thing. It is connected to the birth of Seth, the appointed one. It is connected to God's appointed time and God's appointed one. So I want to say to you that not only is God able to fulfill the promise when everything looks dead, not only is God able to continue, you know, the blessing to you and to your generations to follow, but God is going to use that. God is not done with you. God is never done with you. God is going to cause your promise to bring forth and erupt a revolution, erupt a revival, erupt people calling on the name of the Lord. Bring forth a generation that will go against the flow of the world. Bring forth a generation that will be godly, that in the midst of sinful people, they will call on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that glorious? God fulfills the promise for the present in a personal way. God gives a promise for generations to come. He continues the blessing for generations, and God makes sure that we become partners in revival. God makes sure that the present is not without effect, that at the present moment, we make history, we change history, that we stir up the revival. Wouldn't it be wonderful if books were written about us, and then it says that when the appointed time came, or when God's promise was fulfilled in their life, when the alignment came between their life and the word of God, and the alignment between their life and the promises of God, at that time, people turned to the Lord in masses. At that time, there was revival in that church. At that time, there was revival in that city. At that time, that generation started seeking the Lord like never before. At that time, bondages were broken. Many addicts were brought into the kingdom. Many who were far away from the Lord came into the kingdom. However you would like to write that narrative, you can create that narrative by just being in that place of faith and belief and aligning ourselves, knowing God will fulfill his promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how do we respond to a word like this? Right? Okay, that was good for Eve. Right? What about me? And I started off by saying that if you have been in that place of everything, where everything seems like there's no hope for the future, I started by saying your disappointments is being turned into divine appointments. Or if I can rephrase that again, if this is the season, there are changes that is happening. God has done some stuff, but I want you to remember, regardless, that in the midst of your disappointments, where every promise of God looks like it's over and there's nothing more to go, I am telling you, God has already appointed a divine promise to manifest. God has already appointed a time. God has already appointed a person. God has already appointed the fulfillment and the manifestation of the word that he gave to you. Hallelujah. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. How do we respond to this? You know, I just want to quickly close with that. Like, let me take a drink of water. You know, the book of Daniel uses that phrase, appointed time, many times, several times. You can go through and see, several times. But I want to maybe pick up a few verses which the Holy Spirit put in my heart, and I want you to stay with me on this. Now, we know Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, it's a famous verse that says that God, or he changes times and seasons, right? Times and seasons are in God's hand. He's the one who changes it. So we know that. I want to keep that in the backdrop of your mind. Now, in Daniel chapter 7 and also in Daniel chapter 11 and many other places, it talks about, you know, the horn or the beast, or let's put it as the enemy, the devil, okay? That how the horn will rise up against the people of God. And I want to read one verse from Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, talking about the evil one. It says, he will speak against the Most High and oppress his holy people and try to change the set times and laws. Watch this. The enemy, Daniel was prophesying about a future time. He said, the enemy will speak again, not only speak against God, boastful words, pompous words and all of that. It says, he will oppress his holy people. Another version says, he will try to wear out the saints. Okay? Another version says he will persecute the saints. So there will be a time when the enemy will try to wear out the saints, and it says he will try to change the set times. Mind you, there's a word called try. Okay? Now, If we know that God is the only one who can change times and seasons, because he holds it in his hand, how can the enemy change or try to change set times? So I want you to connect the dots. God has appointed a time of the fulfillment of promises for all of us. So we need to get out of our disappointment, because there is an appointed time. But here the word says that there will be a time that the enemy will try to wear out the saints, or he will try to oppress the saints, he'll try to persecute the saints, and he will try to change set times. You know, I want to say that sometimes the strategy of the enemy is, or the strategy that he has to win, is just by trying to take you out of your place of faith, take you out of your place of hope. So here when it says he will try to, he'll talk boastful words against God, and then he will try to wear out the saints. Now think about that. Persecute, oppress, wear out the saints. Now, saints of God, I want to ask you, you know how things one after the other comes, it bombards us. We live in a world where we're always facing opposition, mockery, jeering, you know, and personal lives. If you have gone through a time where you're just being worn out, I want you to remember the enemy is trying to change the set times in your life. How? See, God still has the time. But if you quit because you're so worn out, if you quit because you're so oppressed, that you forget about the promises of God, you just decide you're going to quit and move out of faith, then he wins. But I want to encourage you, listen, stay in the promise of God. Stay in hope. Stay in faith. Listen, Eve, after it was almost 190 years after, that Eve was still believing, and that's why when she had Seth, that declaration came out, this, because Seth means appointed. She had said, this is God's appointed. This is what God has done to fulfill his promise for me. She wasn't like, oh, whatever. I don't know. I hope he also doesn't die. She wasn't in that. She was like in faith. So I want you to come. When you know that the enemy is going to try to wear out the saints so that he can change set times, there is a set time for you. There is a set time for every promise of God over your life. Don't get worn out. Don't get so weary and tired that you quit. That's the only thing, you know. Actually, Daniel chapter 11, verses 33 to 35. I'm just going to read 33 and 35, right? It's very interesting here. He says, Daniel 11, 33. He says, those who are wise will instruct many, though for a time they will fall by the sword or be burned or captured or plundered. Think about this. He's talking about the saints. There might be a season for a time, it says. They will fall by the sword or be burned or captured or plundered. Do you feel like that? Are you in any one of those categories? Plundered, you know, or captured, you know, under bondage. I'm talking spiritual stuff now, okay? Or, you know, just burned. Even burned out can come under that, I guess. You know, chased by the sword. Destruction after destruction, loss after loss, grief after grief, pain after pain, disappointment after disappointment. Are you in that place? Listen, it says something here. Verse 35 says, some of you will stumble, some of the wise will stumble. So that, here's the thing, God is able to use even that. He says, so that they may be refined, purified, and made spotless. So if you are going through any of that, the plundering of the enemy, the sickness of your body, loss of, you know, different things, and, you know, dead hopes, whatever it is, it says that through that we can be refined, purified, and made spotless. Hallelujah. Might I remind you, Jesus is coming back for a spotless bride. Hallelujah. Our faith is being refined. What the enemy meant for evil, God is turning it around for good. We get sharper and more refined, more spotless while we go through all of those things. When the enemy is trying to wear us out, we just keep getting better and better and more Christ-like, but we don't quit. Hallelujah. And then the verse says, some of the wise will stumble so that they may be refined, purified, and made spotless until the time. For it will still come at the appointed time. See, he says, until the time of the end, this will keep happening. But he says, it will still come at the appointed time. Hallelujah. So we don't have the luxury to quit. We don't have the luxury to stay in that place of disappointment. We just need to come and align ourselves with God. I want to declare to you that even though the scripture says the enemy will try to change your set times, I want to declare to you that no one can change the set times that God has placed over you. No one can change your times and season, because only God has that authority, unless we just relinquish that right to the enemy, right? Unless we just decide, I'm so worn out, I don't want to follow. I don't want to keep up. I don't want to keep standing. Only then can the enemy shift us out of our appointed times. But we are of those who believe and stay strong. Hallelujah. Habakkuk, the prophet Habakkuk in chapter 2, verse 3 says, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. And then what does it say? He goes on to say, though it linger, wait for it, because it will surely come. Another version says, it will certainly come and will not delay. Hallelujah. And you know, the final thing, I want to close with this. From Seth, the appointed one, the fulfillment of the immediate promise, came Noah. Fast forward all the generations. From Noah came Abraham. Fast forward, from Abraham comes David, King David. From King David comes Jesus, our Messiah. Hallelujah. And we know that through Seth, through that appointed seed, what God had promised ultimately comes to fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 4 verse 4 says, when the set time had fully come. Come on, what Eve experienced was a partial manifestation of the promise. It fulfilled her personal life. It fulfilled that generation's call and all of that. But there was yet a perfect fulfillment. When the set time had fully come, God sent his son, it says, to rescue us. Galatians 4:4. Hallelujah. So the promise of God over Eve, saying your seed will crush Satan's head, became fulfilled when Jesus destroyed the devil at the cross. He crushed, he disarmed, he killed. He just made the devil of no effect through his victory at the cross. Hallelujah. How glorious can a promise be? How glorious can an appointed season be, that it starts and sets into motion all that God had promised? It starts happening. And dearly beloved, I want to say today to you that if you're in that place where Eve was, where Adam and Eve were, where everything is dead and lifeless and hopeless and bleak, God has an appointed time for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to move straight into communion. This is the first Sunday, and so we are going to be participating in communion. You know, I think what better scripture to think about for our communion time today, other than that verse in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, that at the set time, God sent his son, born of a woman, hallelujah, born of a woman, to crush the devil's head. And he was successful. He died on the cross to take our sins. It says, you know, in the original promise, it said that the devil will bruise his heel, Satan will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. And so Jesus took all the bruise that we should have been bruised with, all of our pain, all of the consequences for our sin, everything, it was all on him, right? We know that. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was bruised for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Hallelujah. So he took it all, the seed of the woman, the ultimate fulfillment. He took it all. And he was victorious at the cross. And then he was raised again on the third day. And then before he was taken up, he gave us this, you know, a symbol to follow and to continue and to remember and to do. You know, he said, break bread. He said, every time you do this, every time you do this, you do it in remembrance of me, because he said, this is my body. And, you know, so I proclaim to you that the body of Jesus was broken for us. This is the gift of God for us, that the broken body of Jesus, And Jesus took the cup and said, you know, this is my blood in the new covenant. He brought us into a new covenant. He brought us into the fulfillment of promises. He said, I did this for you. And may I remind you, for those of us who have received him, who have received his death on the cross, he says, I've come to give you life and life abundantly. Life abundantly. So let's not settle for anything less than abundant life. Let's not live in disappointment, because he came, he sent his son so that our disappointments can completely turn and become his divine appointments to live the abundant life. So let's pray and then you can participate. Father, we thank you for having died for us. We thank you for the body of Christ that was broken, bruised, crushed, pierced through, and wounded for our transgressions. Lord, today, as we take that, as we participate in this communion, in the bread and the juice, symbolic of your body that was broken, and the blood of Jesus that was shed for the forgiveness of our sin. Today, Lord, we say, this is the greatest sign that you always come through with your word. That, Lord, even those of us who may be going through a season of being weary, a season of disappointment, maybe a season of being persecuted or plundered, beaten up, whatever, Lord, we know that our hope is in you, that is not our final end. We thank you, it's only a season, because you have already appointed a divine season for us when we will come into the fulfillment of the promise. You always come through, Lord, so we thank you for that. And Lord, as we participate, we realize you came through for Eve. You came through for Abraham. You came through even for Jesus. You raised him from the dead. And Lord, you did it all for us. So here we are, those who have been adopted as sons, because you gave us Jesus. So we participate now with gratitude. We participate now with expectation of the divine appointments. We participate in this communion now as a declaration that we believe that we stand firm on your word. And Lord, we look ahead to the future manifestation of all your promises. So thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Bless this to us as we participate, O God. Let it be healing to our bones, strength to our body, refreshing to our soul, and strengthening of our spirits, O God. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to feel free to participate in the bread and the juice, and as you stay in that place of, you know, awe and reverence for what God has done, you know, I want you to celebrate. You know, I want us to celebrate. It's a time for celebration because divine appointments are here. It's a time for celebration because we celebrate the resurrection. And, you know, we will have a song. The worship team is going to sing a song for us now, and join with them. You know, raise up a hallelujah. You know, no matter what the enemy brings, no matter what storms we face, no matter what hopelessness comes, we raise that hallelujah because we know the ultimate victory is ours. Amen? And so to that end, I want you to participate in the communion. And I want you, wherever you are, rise up and shout for joy. Rise up and raise that hallelujah in your house, in your situation, over the circumstances. Raise it and bless the Lord, who's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. God bless you as you participate.